This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. It is the 12th anniversary of the beginning of Behind the Black to explicate the commercial space successes, the big space competitions, and of course, SpaceX, which is somewhere between commercial space and boy, does NASA need this, because SpaceX has made it possible to separate NASA's achievements from the competitive big space company of Roscosmos and the competitive big space company of China. We're now looking, however, at more accomplishments for SpaceX while we're all waiting for Starship. Your subscriptions and donations are most appreciated in these last weeks before Starship flies, at least begins to fly. Bob, a very good evening to you. SpaceX has other work to do. This has to do with its launch system, some of which contributes to Starlink, some of which is commercial property. What is their record so far? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. I have to once again thank your listeners for their generous donations and subscriptions to Behind the Black. It's keeping me well-fed, me and my wife, and it allows me to continue to do this work. SpaceX, is trying to make money launching rockets and launching payloads into space. Last year, they set a record for a private commercial company of 30 launches in a single year. That was most any company had ever done, and it broke their previous record of 25 launches in a single year, which was the most anyone had ever done. Well, this past weekend, SpaceX completed its 31st launch of 22. Matching its entire output for 21, that was 31, in only a little over 6 months. The year is only a little half over, and they've already matched their total for last year. They are aiming for 60 launches in 22, and at this pace, it looks like they're going to do it. 60 launches would be more launches by SpaceX than the whole world did in many years in the last half century, and by far would top the U.S. totals in almost every single year since Sputnik. And meanwhile, all of American private enterprise, John, leads the world combined in launches right now. Just the United States private enterprise, private companies, when you add up their launches in this year, in the first half year, they have more launches than everybody else in the world. And what's more interesting is that the U.S. is hitting without question to a new record of launches that'll beat the most launches ever done since Sputnik, and that's quite exciting.
Meanwhile, Roscosmos is watching without Rogozin. Where's he gone, Bob?
Dmitry Rogozin late last week was fired, essentially, by Vladimir Putin. At least they said he was removed and given a new assignment to head one of the administrative posts in eastern Ukraine. In other words, he's going to now run one of the regions Russia has conquered in the eastern Ukraine, the occupied territory. So Dmitry Rogozin, that loudmouth, he's gone. We'll lose a little bit of entertainment in that respect. He was replaced with a former deputy prime minister, Yuri Borisov, at the time doing military work for Putin, been in charge of military sections. And that doesn't surprise me, since Roscosmos has lost all its commercial international business. It's mainly going to be focusing on launching Russian government satellites, and that means a lot of military satellites. The change, though, immediately had a positive effect with the relations between Roscosmos and NASA, NASA's been trying to get a barter deal signed with Roscosmos, whereby on a one-to-one basis, American astronauts would fly on a Soyuz and Russian astronauts would fly on either a Starliner or a Dragon. And this is for safety reasons. Let everybody know how to work the lifeboats of everybody else. And they haven't been able to get Roscosmos to sign off on the deal because Roscosmos was in charge and he was like a blithering idiot as far as I'm concerned. Well, he's gone, and within hours of him leaving, Roscosmos finalized the barter deal. So we will have this year a Russian female cosmonaut, their only female cosmonaut, fly on an American Dragon in September, and then an American will fly on a Soyuz also later this year, John, and they'll do this one-to-one from now on.
We go to China, the People's Republic of China, rolling out Long March 5B for a launch later this month. What are we looking at? What is Long March 5B? What is the significance, Bob?
115B is China's biggest rocket. It's the most powerful rocket they've got, and it's the rocket they use to launch the big modules that they're going to add to their Tiangong space station. And it's launched about three times previously, and each time it launched, its core stage, it's made up of a core stage and then four strap-on boosters. And every time it's launched previously, the core stage reaches orbit, but its engines were not restartable. So once they cut off and deploy the module, that core stage was big enough to crash on the Earth, but it was not controllable, so they could do nothing to bring it down in a controlled manner. And so the end result was that it was always a threat to hit habited territories. They were very lucky in the first three or so launches. Well, this next launch is going to put up the next module for their space station, the Wen Tian module. Weighs about 20 tons or so, and the core stage once again will be launched. Now the question is that core stage going to have the same engines that don't restart? And there's a question, it might not. There have been tests in China for the last year for new engines for the 5B, and it could very well be that these engines will be restartable and that this core stage won't come crashing down on anyone's head. They will be able to deorbit it into the ocean where it won't do any
harm. Have we any evidence that they've tried to deorbit in that fashion, similar to SpaceX,
a lot of upper stages are designed to do exactly this, and most of the time if the upper stage has a restartable engine, there's always fuel left over, and routinely then they will use that fuel to bring it down in a controlled manner. In most cases it's not even relevant because the upper stages are not big enough, they'll burn up anyway in the atmosphere. In this case it's big enough, it won't burn up, and they haven't been able to control its descent. Now we will find out if they fix this problem in a week, because the launch is on the 24th of July, and in the next week we'll find out if they can bring this core stage down in a controlled manner. We'll find out.
UAE, an announcement from the United Arab Emirates, budgeting $820 million for its space program to do what, Bob?
UAE wants to diversify its economy, and they've made an aggressive effort to make space the way to do it. It inspires people, etc. It's cutting-edge technology. They already have built a Mars orbiter. They're in the process of putting together a lunar rover. And so they now earmarked, $820 million? That's almost $1 billion for space-related projects. The bulk of this money apparently is going to be used to put up a constellation of advanced imaging satellites. These are essentially radar or Landsat type satellites to observe the Earth, do research of the Earth. You can obviously use this for reconnaissance and surveillance as well. They hope to start launching in 25. They will be small sats, complete the constellation by 28. Where the other money is going to go, we don't know, but they very clearly want to get their economy diversified into space, and this is going to help fund it.
We go to Artemis Accords. What are they, Bob, and why did Saudi Arabia sign?
Saudi Arabia is now the 21st nation to sign the Artemis Accords, joining the UAE and a lot of other countries, most of which are major players in space. The Artemis Accords was developed in the Trump administration as bilateral agreements between the U.S. and another country, whereby the other country will get a chance to partner with us on our Artemis program to go back to the moon and beyond, and in the process agrees to protect property rights in space. This is an effort to get around the Outer Space Treaty's limitations on property rights, and by getting this many countries involved, 21 countries, all in agreement on this, you create a strong alliance to protect property rights in space, no matter what the Outer Space Treaty says. Right now, Russia and China oppose this Artemis Accords. The only countries, the major spacefaring countries that haven't signed or opposed it are Germany and India. Germany, I expect to sign up to the Artemis Accords momentarily. India is an unknown, and I think they right now want to remain non-aligned, and that's their choice, of course.
And Bob, the Artemis Accords is meant to answer some of the unanswered questions in the Outer Space Treaty. It does not present what, to my reading, a determination, however, about militarizing Earth orbit, or does it? What is your read?
It tries very hard, John, not to contradict the Outer Space Treaty in as many ways as possible. And the Outer Space Treaty is what was designed to try to discourage militarization in space. Of course, that was always a fantasy, just like there will be no property rights in space, and the Outer Space Treaty is a fantasy as well. The goal here is you create an alliance of people who are working together. They can act to protect each other against other aggressive forces like Russia and China. And that's what we're really looking at here. To make believe we can prevent the militarization of space is to make believe you pass a law against murder and murder will never occur. It doesn't exist. So this is an attempt to protect future space-faring nations that support property rights and individual freedom. This is to get them together and to protect those rights in space.
A detail from China, Bob highlights Northwestern Polytechnical University testing on July 4th a rocket hypersonic prototype. What is this, Bob? Why are these look like a gathering of students? What are they up to?
It's clearly a developmental project. It's designed to develop scramjet engines. These are air-breathing engines that would be as powerful as a rocket engine, but would use the oxygen in the air rather than fuel oxygen that it carries. And there's a lot of companies and nations have been trying to develop this, including the U.S. military. In this case, it's designed. It looks like they were doing a suborbital test of these engines. For the purposes of launching a space plane, or at least a hypersonic plane for transporting cargo and people at very high speeds. It's not a lot of information. I've tried to cull together what little they told us. It is a confirmed actual hypersonic test, unlike a lot of those hypersonic tests that the U.S. military touted last year that I don't think actually ever happened. This one actually did, but it has to do with transportation of people and cargo, not orbital or missiles, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps a website, Behind the Black. It's happy birthday, Behind the Black, 12 years of talking about commercial space and space discoveries as well. We're headed to concern for NASA's newest, fanciest robot, the James Webb Space Telescope. Your donations and subscriptions are most appreciated. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.